So some of you may know, but I'm sure many of you do not, that I teach art at the University of Richmond in their School of Professional and Continuing Studies. And so at U of R, most of the students that I have are already pretty good at art. It's an elective, so they take the class because they think they'll be successful. They probably also think they'll get a good grade. And so it's not that challenging. It's lots of fun to teach them. But when I taught at Savannah College of Art and Design, I taught in their foundations department. And all of the students, no matter what your major, were required to take the classes that I taught. So if you were a video major or a photography major, you still had to take drawing and design. And each semester, I would have several students who would say to me, I just can't draw, I can't draw, I don't know why they're making me take this class, I can't draw. And I would be very patient and say, everyone can learn to draw. We may not all be Rembrandt or Mary Cassatt, but you can learn the basics. And that is really all we expect of you. And sure enough, by the end of the semester, with enough time and practice, they would all learn to draw. However, one semester I had a student who found drawing particularly challenging, more so than any student I had ever had. And he was an awesome guy. He had a wonderful attitude, but he was a basketball player. And yes, Savannah College of Art and Design does have a basketball team. And he had these very large hands, which is great for playing basketball, but it makes it difficult to draw tiny details on your drawing. And then he was so nervous and so worked up that when he went to draw, in the beginning, his hand would shake. But he did have a good attitude, and with persistence, he managed to learn to draw. And on the very last day of class, when he put up his drawings for a final critique, the other students gave him a round of applause. It was like awesome. So in today's scripture, as Jesus finishes praying, one of his disciples, who must think that he doesn't know how to pray, comes to him and says, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus responds with short, direct instructions. He says, when you pray, say this. And he teaches them the words of what we now call the Lord's Prayer. In our scripture today, though, in Luke, it's even shorter. The words that we normally say come from Matthew's gospel. So in Luke's gospel, it's five sentences. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial. So basically, the prayer asks that God would help us to, one, keep God's name holy, two, act in ways that promote justice, compassion, and forgiveness, and three, that God would give us enough food and a sense of security. Prayer can be short and to the point. If it is heartfelt and relational, that is what God wants. The author of a book that I'm currently reading with my Prayer Connect group tells a story about three monks who lived on a remote island. So one day, the bishop of these monks decided that he needed to pay them a visit. So he took a boat over to see them. And when he got there, he was shocked and amazed to find that they did not know the words to the Lord's Prayer. So he spent the majority of his visit with them, teaching them these words. And when he was satisfied, he left the village to return to the mainland. But as his boat was pulling out, he turned around and he saw the monks not only walking, but running on the water, yelling after him, shouting, we forgot the prayer, we've forgotten the words to the prayer. And he turned around and asked them, how then do you pray? And they answered, "We just say, 'Dear God, there are three of us, and there are three of you. Have mercy on us.'" We know how to pray because God gives us this ability. The words can be as simple as, "Have mercy on me." In fact, we don't even have to use words. But before I talk about different ways to pray, I want to address the rest of today's scripture passage. After Jesus teaches the disciples words for a prayer, he tells them a very strange and somewhat confusing parable about a friend who goes at midnight to another friend's house and knocks on the door and asks for three loaves of bread. And then the friend gives him the bread, but not because the friend cares about him or the friend is being generous, but because the other friend's persistence has worn him down. And so we kind of wonder, like, what is this about? And then Jesus continues and he asks these questions that are equally as bizarre. And Daniel and I had a good discussion about scorpions and snakes when we were planning today's worship. And luckily for Daniel, he didn't have to go try to figure out what this meant. But I left pondering, what does this mean about snakes and scorpions? And when I read it, and then I looked at other things that interpreted it, I realized that if you misinterpret the story, the passage, you might wonder if God is sleeping and doesn't want to be disturbed by our prayers and petitions. Or you might wonder if you haven't been persistent enough or had enough faith and why you don't feel God is answering your prayers. Or even worse, if you're going through a tough time, if you have a friend who has cancer or you've lost your job, you might wonder, what have I done that God has given me this snake? But if we look carefully at Jesus' words, we see he is trying to reassure the listeners that God is far more generous than any human is, and that God will always respond with good gifts when we pray. Persistence in prayer is good not because we always get the desired results, but because God answers our prayers with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Suffering and death are inevitable parts of the human condition, and God does not change this reality. But God always gives us the good gift of the Holy Spirit to be with us in both our joy and our pain. In the words of Lewis Galloway, what we discover through persistent prayer is not so much communication with God, but communion with God. Ultimately, prayer leads us to a deeper relationship with God and with our neighbors. Through wrestling with our fears and doubts and frustrations honestly and openly, we realize that we can trust God to give us good gifts, and that God will draw us closer to God's own heart and to the mystery of God. Prayer is both a gift and something that can be learned. It's a spiritual discipline. We are all on a journey of faith that will ultimately end in union with God, and spiritual disciplines like prayer and fasting, taking communion, worshiping together, these help us lead us closer to God's own heart. One way to be disciplined in prayer is to set aside a specific time each day to pray. Last week, I was reading a sermon by Jim Somerville, and in it, he shared that at one point, his prayer life was somewhat lacking. He realized he would get up in the morning and make his coffee, and while the coffee was brewing, he would say a couple of quick prayers. And then once he had his coffee, he would sit down and start working. So he decided to change his routine And he got up an hour earlier each day. And he brewed his coffee, and he still prayed while he brewed his coffee, but he continued to pray for an extra hour before he began his work. And this totally changed his prayer life and made it very rich. For me, the best way to pray has always been to pray in smaller increments throughout the day. As a child, we would say a blessing at each meal, and we also said bedtime prayers. And then in church, I learned the Lord's Prayer and the prayer of confession. And so as I got older, each night I would pray the prayer of confession as a part of my nighttime prayers. When I was in seminary, we committed as a class in one of my classes to saying the daily order each day at four times throughout the day. And this turned out to be a huge blessing, not just for me, but for my family, because my children were young, and so they were still at home, and we would say the noontime prayers and the evening prayers at dinner together. So it drew us closer not only to God, but to each other. Prayer can be as simple as repeating a breath prayer or the prayer of Jesus throughout the day. It can include reading a psalm or a devotion. It can include singing a hymn or a favorite song. Some people enjoy journaling or coloring as a way to pray. Two of my favorite ways to pray are to read books of prayers written by others. Recently, a friend brought me a book of prayers from Iona, and they're beautiful and enriching. Or reading scripture as a Lectio Divina. My favorite study on prayer is Companions in Christ, the Way of Prayer. During Lent, a few years ago, our congregation did this study with our partner churches. Each time we met, my group would begin our study with a simple prayer: Light of Christ, shine on our path, chase away all darkness, and lead us to the heart of God. Through the study, I began to see that prayer is not just words. We can pray with icons or other religious images. If you look at the cover of your bulletin, you'll see an illumination from a book of prayers and psalms that an individual once owned. And as this person would read the psalms, they would pray while contemplating the images. Many people pray while walking in nature or while walking a labyrinth. So today, we have the labyrinth set up in the church parlor, if any of you would like to walk that. People pray while dancing or doing yoga, while alone or with a group. You can pray while walking your dog, washing the dishes, knitting, sewing, anytime that we focus our attention and our love on God, we are praying. We are all endowed with artistic abilities because God creates us in God's own image, and God is creative. One of the gifts that God gives us is the ability to speak words. God creates by speaking words. And this same God is continually at work in our world, transforming, recreating, and making all things new. God calls us to a deeper relationship through prayer. As United Methodists, we believe that God's prevenient grace is always at work in all people. Each semester, I tell my painting students, to learn to paint, you have to paint. You have to take the risk. You can read a book about painting, you can watch YouTube videos about painting, but until you take a brush and put the paint on the brush, and put that on the canvas, you won't learn how to paint. And prayer is the same way. You won't really learn how to pray until you actually sit down and pray. But if you are persistent, if you practice, if you try different modes, then you will become really good at praying. It may not be that you'll get a standing ovation or a round of applause, but you'll be drawn closer to God's own heart. The mystery of prayer is that it transforms us. It transforms our relationships, and it transforms the world. When we pray, our hearts connect with God's heart, and our hearts are formed more and more into the image of Christ until we can represent Christ to the world. When people encounter Christ, the world is transformed. In his book, Here Now With You, Greg Lewis Taylor tells this incredible story about an encounter at the University of Florida between a white nationalist, Randy Furness, and Aaron Courtney, an African-American football coach, who had come to the rally to protest the racial bigotry perpetuated by white nationalists. During the rally, Furness was attacked by another man. The other man came up and punched him in the nose. As Furness was standing there, shocked and bleeding, Courtney, who had been planning to go home, was moved to go and speak to him. When Furness refused to speak, Courtney could think of nothing else to do but reach out to Furness and offer him a hug. When Furness refused to respond to this request, Courtney persevered. Not once, not twice, but three times he offered him a hug before he submitted and accepted the hug. And then as Courtney embraced Furness, he said, "Why do you hate me?" Then, as Furness stammered, "I don't know," Courtney says he heard God whisper, "You changed his life." In the name of the one who is always at work, transforming hearts and lives.